time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy, for our prelude this day. Crown him with many crowns. Here's an expression in the Old Testament. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's appropriate at the start of worship that we start with the silence. Shifting from the world, shifting to God. He becomes the object now for 1 hour. Let us take a moment of silence. Our liturgy begins from the first page. If you'll please rise with confession of sin this day as we celebrate the Eucharist, but also our relationship to God, that we are not equals. We are indebted to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who stretches out the heavens, who sends light to all the nations, who gives breath to all of us. Amen. So let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Loving God, we confess that we have turned from your way to follow our own ways. Forgive us for the times we have spoken or acted too quickly, or have not spoken or acted at all. We have hurt those closest to us. We have hurt those who we have yet to know. We have thought more about ourselves than others. We have thought less of ourselves than we even ought. Turn us around and give us a fresh start so that we can live again as your children. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our entrance in page 3. Built on a rock, the church shall stand.
Oh,
Lord be with you. You'll join me in the prayer of the day, please. Holy God of compassion, you invite us into your way of forgiveness and peace. Lead us to love our enemies and transform our words and deeds to be like His through whom we pray. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word. And Judy Arises as our first lectern.
First reading comes from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 18. The holiness code in Leviticus urges people to be holy since God is holy. Holiness is lived out in partiality for and consideration of the poor and the weak. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare or gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. And you shall not lie to one another. And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revile the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. You shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you shall incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Word of God, word of life."
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much, Judy. Psalm of the Day selected verses, which we'll read in unison, please. It's Psalm 119. It's a beautiful psalm praising God for His law, His Torah, to His people, and how important that law is to govern, guide our lives. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your teaching. I shall keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the paths of your commandments, for that is my desire. Incline my heart to your decrees, and not to unjust gain. Turn my eyes from beholding falsehood. Give me life in your way. Fulfill your promise to your servant, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the reproach that I dread, because your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your commandments, and by your righteousness enliven me." At this service, we don't have the special gift of Brad and his son, Denver, but the D. Terrys will have special music for us. Children's sermon I could do because three are here, but if it's okay with you three, okay. And they are coming up? Sure, hey, I'm flexible. I may not have anybody. They're going to Frankenmuth for a swim party. So this is Sadie. They're at the 11 o'clock service, so it's a good time for you to meet the 8:30 congregation. This is Gracelyn. She just turned 8 10 days ago, and she'll tell you all about it. Jazzy has her birthday in the month of March. I typed it up in the newsletter just yesterday. So how old will you be, Jazz?
11.
11. Wow. She knows the world. Any of you ever use one of these devices? Okay. What does this do? You can hold it.
Like closer.
Okay.
Stuff
out,
like, away.
Right. Yes, correct.
It helps you burn fire. I mean.
Yes. You heard that, Anne. Mother. She uses a magnifying glass to cause a fire. Oh, Tristan does. Oh, throw your brother under the bus. Okay. I knew that's what you meant. It wouldn't be you. You know, you're sweet and innocent. Sadie, do you ever use one?
When I was little, I used to have a kit for to look at bugs.
Oh, yes, for bug examination. Use them for that. Any of you people use them to read? Okay, see. You're going to come to a day in your life and you're going to say, I can't make out that letter. I can't make out that word. And some of our people with macular degeneration will say, I can't read that page. So they get a magnifier big enough to cover the page. Magnifiers, a way to see things that our eyes no longer can see because they're small. Now, how would you describe the surface of this piece of wood? Is it rough? Is it smooth? You can touch it.
Rough and smooth.
Well, not at the end. It's smooth, right? No splinters. Okay. Now, a lot of times in our life, we see ourselves as something smooth and polished. I'm going to suggest to you, God sees us with a magnifying glass and sees things that we don't see about ourselves. Okay, so let's take the magnifying glass in close. Can you see the little holes and lines between the pieces of wood? Yeah. What happens if you spill something on it? Let Sadie use it too. Let her see. Grace. If you don't wash this at home, it's a wooden trivet for those on the radio or podcast. If you don't wash this, what grows in there?
Dirt.
Dirt and germs.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So on the outside, it feels smooth. And we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, God, I am so good. They don't make them like me. God pulls out his magnifying glass. He says, let's talk about this, Don. You don't see this? All of us. And this is the reason why in the Lutheran service we begin with confession of sin. And it's so important, whether you feel it or not. Because feelings have nothing to do with what a magnifying glass does. It sees what is there, but to our eye, we can't see. The magnifying glass is how God sees us. What does God use when he looks at our lives for the quality of our lives? We learned it in catechism for all three of you. All three of them are in my catechism class. It's time for examination. Oh, Gracie is taking a parallel track because she's not old enough and she's learning with us, but she's not sitting in the class. So, what is it that God uses to look at our lives? We started in the fall talking about 10 of them.
The
right, Sadie. The Ten Commandments. We call it the Torah, the 10 laws of God, 10 words, Decalogue is the Greek word. And it's the way in which God says, if you want to know what I want from you, here are 10 things. And of all things, if you remember from class last fall, three of them have to deal with our relationship with the Lord God. Commandment through 10 deal with our relationships with other people. Does God care how we treat our neighbor? You better believe it, because 70% of the commandments are about that. We are responsible to God and to neighbor. And this is what our lessons say today, okay? So don't fool yourself and don't try to fool God. He's got his eye on you. And let me give you the children's bulletin. You can go on back with him. There you go, kids. Enjoy your swim day today. There you go, Grace. And Jess. Here you go. You're welcome. Our second reading this day by Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church and its ministry. We are God's temple because God's Spirit dwells in us, and we belong to Christ. Hence, we are called to build wisely upon this sure foundation, not for our own benefit, but for others to experience Christ's benefits. Our second reading is from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 and 16 through 23. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. That foundation is Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. In those who obey the word of God, Christ, the love of God has reached perfection. Hallelujah. The gospel text for the day, it seems like we never leave the Sermon on the Mount. It is so rich, we just take it in small verses to hear Christ's primary teachings, not about himself, though occasionally, but life lived with God. So from Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 38. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus said to his disciples, you've heard that it was said that there should be an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I, Jesus, say to you, do not resist the evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other also. And if anybody wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to walk 1 mile, which was the standard in an occupied country under Rome, any soldier could go to you and say, I need you to carry my duffel bag for 1 mile. You had to do it. Jesus says,
walk with them a second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. Do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil as well as the good ones. He sends rain on the righteous. He also sends rain on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if we greet only your brothers and your sisters, what more are you doing than somebody else? Do not even the Gentiles, the non-believer pagans, do the same? Here's the clincher. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, and peace that only God can give in a troubled world, in troubled lives, and all the issues we face. Amen. Sermon outline, if you choose to follow or reference it during the week, that's fine. For those on radio, you can always request our bulletin to receive not only the order of service to follow in our worship, but also an outline of the message for the day. That's assuming I stick to it, which 97% of the time I do. But there are times that something comes up since I've prepared this. This is a season of Epiphany. The countdown is on. You may not notice it, but I'm working on the Lenten schedule. So I do notice it. During the five Wednesdays of Lent, which we worship 1 and 7 o'clock, Ash Wednesday, March 1st, through then April, preceding Holy Week, because we don't meet then, for Wednesday worship, because we meet Thursday and Friday. But our theme is going to be the chief articles of faith. The chief basis on which the Christian faith is anchored. And they all revolve around Jesus Christ. No doubt about it. We call it Luther's Small Catechism. The adults are meeting, had five there last week. As the class grows, and it's open to the community as well as to the members of this church from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we're taking this bit by bit, looking at those six chief parts of the faith. Luther's preference was that parents should teach this to their children. But I won't embarrass you to see if you taught your children those chief articles. But rather, it is over the centuries kind of delegated to the church to do it, and we call that catechism. But it should be supported by the family, because these are so essential to understand God's will and ways with his people. Okay? So, in the lessons, you would swear this far into Epiphany that somehow the pastor contrived to select these lessons. I told you as we started this journey, these lessons appear every 3 years. I have no control, unless I leave the lectionary. Then when would I pick them up again? You stay the course. Some churches don't have a lectionary, and I appreciate it. People listening on the radio, their form of worship and structure is different than a liturgical church, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Methodist, and the rest of us, Roman Catholic. And I always had fun on the church tour. Had several of the people came in to visit our Savior say to me, We go to Roman Catholic churches, but on our way there, we listen to you on the radio. And we get to hear what the lessons are going to be because you speak to them. And I had to chuckle. I said, yes, we do all the same things. We are Roman Catholic, just with less guilt. They laugh too. The lessons are the lessons. The Word of God is the Word of God. I don't tamper it. I'm a preacher. I proclaim it. And that is my function, my ordination vows. And I will not renounce them. So get ready and hold tight, because here it comes. Leviticus. We've been hearing for the last few weeks, Leviticus. This is called the Holiness Code. When you came to believe in Jesus Christ, were baptized, raised in the church, whatever your situation, came in by an adult through instruction or just by a conversion of faith, you didn't know what you were signing on for. None of us did. But here's what God expects. As he speaks through the writer of Leviticus, this is the way God sees it. You who bear the name of the Almighty God, you must be holy as the one under whose name you gather. Whoa. He must be talking to the person in the next pew. Can't be talking to me. I'm pretty good, right? That's usually the human response. No, God's standard isn't pretty good. And as I have said for decades, God does not grade on a curve. You do not get to set your own grade like some grade school classes where the teachers abdicate their role and let the kids grade their papers. This is not like that. This is the instructor, the master, God himself, who has a standard. And it would be wise if God's people not only heard it, believed it, and then sought to live by it. Okay? It would be wise for us, prudent, if we were thinking creatures. And then he goes into an elaborate, basically, summary of the Ten Commandments and their application. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely with another person. You should not lie to anybody else. You not swear falsely by my name. That is, invoke God's name as like wrapping yourself up to make yourself look better than you would on your own merits, because you're going to quote God. You shall not profane the name of your God. And every time he does this section of instructions, he ends it with why we should obey him. Did you hear the refrain? Because I am the Lord your God. He doesn't give us wiggle room to say, but. No, but. Because I am your Lord. This is how you would behave. It's not up to discussion. Do it. And like Moses said 2 weeks ago, and you will live. Choose life. That's the standard. That's the bar God set, not humans. You know, we would lower the bar so we could get over it. We're not playing limbo where we get under it. We're trying to get above it. So we would lower it. Second reading. The Apostle Paul. It's kind of like, Paul, would you stop it? Church, would you quit quoting him from 1 Corinthians? Can't we move on to another Bible passage? Jesus loves me. This I know. No, the church needs to hear his words. His instruction is, look at your body. Look at your neighbor. In that form and fashion is the temple of God. The Spirit of the Holy Almighty God resides in them. How can you treat them less and you with your God. That has a lot of implications in a nation that's, what, 70% obese? Has a lot of implications for those of us who don't exercise. Has a lot of implications for us to take care of this physical frame because it's God's property. You ever see those t-shirts? Property of University of Michigan gym, you know, athletic program, and they never went to the school, nor did they ever exercise. Give me a break. False advertising. And in the course of things, we walk around saying, I'm property of God. But I don't do anything to live up to that. It's like, take care of yourself. Not only do you benefit, but you're a witness to other people. You're an inspiration. When you do what is right, as God gives guidance, it is good for you. And you honor God because God's Spirit is within you. This is wise. This is right. And then Paul reminds them, in a community that's being divided each week, you saw that. If not, go back to the podcast. You'll hear it. We all belong to God. God belongs to all of us. Not that God is property of us, but God wants to be Lord of all of us. He wants to shepherd all his creation, not just some of it. But as you and I both know from the witness of Scripture, not all people want to be shepherded by God. Not all people want to honor God. Not all people want to obey God. Not all people want to be holy to the Lord. So, you belong to Christ. Don't have any identity crisis. You know who you are. Don't look left and right at the world. Look straight ahead at Jesus Christ. And as the New Testament and Pauline theology goes on to describe, look wholly unto him because he's the archetype, he is the model, he is the icon of what God's life is like in human fashion. True God, true man, living in right relationships with all people as much as he could, but obviously not being liked by a lot of people that they crucified him. Live your life clean before God as much as you can in human fashion, because we're all sinners. And so in Matthew's gospel, Jesus, like last week, dealing with the smug and the self-righteous people, he says to them, okay, you heard it said what Moses said. I'm telling you, a new order is in town. There's a new sheriff. I'm the Son of God. I am not just one of the prophets. I am the Lord God, the Word made flesh. And I'm dwelling among you this very moment. And he goes on to say, these rules that were back then are being redefined right in front of you by the authority of the one who gave the first set of rules, but didn't get through the transmission. So I'm going to tell you how it is. You heard it said, you should love your friends and hate your enemies. I'm telling you, that's not the way God sees it. God's magnifying glass is out. It's not how behavior is going to be in my kingdom if you want to be in my house. You are to love all people, even your enemies, and you take a deep sigh. Because you know when hurt comes in any human relationship, whether it's a divorce, a separation, any human relationship, there's anger, there's rage, there's revenge. All kinds of things come to the old Adam. But not to be among the people of God. And to understand, God's standard does not change because we don't make the mark. God's standard is still up here. So he says to his people and the self-righteous, you who judge others must be perfect, or you're not going to see the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I know where I stand. The magnifying glass is not only held in my hand, but it's held in God's hand. And I hope you, as we enter Lent, understand this is a period of self-examination. To look at ourselves the way God sees us. So that when we approach Good Friday and the cross of Jesus Christ, none of us stands right. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. It's just your ways are not my ways of sinning. Obviously, if we were Pharisees, we'd say your sins are worse than mine. But in God's eyes, that's not true. Sin is sin. So to be perfect, if one seeks to be justified by the law, you must be perfect. Romans says it too. Third chapter. But in fact, where Paul writes, Jesus teaches. Jesus came not to heal the healthy. That'd be redundant. He came to heal the sinner. The Apostle Paul, later reflecting on his own life and his own imperfection, says, and I'm the chief of them all. Paul had humility. God's people need it too. The understanding that when we stand before God, nobody stands innocent. Every one of us stands guilty. So when Lent comes in just 2 weeks, join the journey. On Thursdays, we're going to have Lenten luncheons over at St. John United Church of Christ. This will be the first year our Savior will participate, and we're going to have as many as 8 congregations joining us at St. John's from the Old Town area. We're going to be on Thursdays from noon to 1. We, our Savior, will have one of those luncheons. I'll be one of the presenters. And our theme is Reconciliation Journey. For those in-house, I want you to know I didn't choose the topic. The topic was a choice of 8 churches because they see the world we live in, the divisions politically, economically, ethnically, racially. We all need reconciliation. And it is a journey. And each of our churches will, from their faith posture, speak to that. So I encourage you on the journey with your sisters and brothers in downtown Port Huron, Thursdays, starting in March, after Ash Wednesday, not the next day, but the next week. Okay, we start. It'll be in your newsletter when we get it out this week. But let's name it, whether it's Leviticus, whether it's Corinthians, whether it's the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, the light of Epiphany of the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world, and this world chose darkness over his light. Jesus Christ comes back to us every day to renew the covenant he made with us by his blood, which we participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion this day. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Page 9, Hymn of the Day, Jesu, Jesu, fill us with your love.
Jesus.
having heard the word of God, it's always appropriate to either agree and believe it or to disagree and walk away from it. We, the church, affirm our faith, not in the words of a pastor, but in the identity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please rise. We affirm our faith. Together we confess. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our service continues with prayers as Marcia leads us.
Called to be a light to the nations, let us pray for God's justice, peace, and healing. Make the church in every land holy as you are holy, O God. Join the voices of rich, poor, young and old, friends and enemies in praise of you. Orchestrate harmony among us, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for clean air, clean water, and clean soil. Renew the sky, land, and waterways. Teach us how to care for the earth as you desire, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for an end to war and for peace throughout the world. Prosper the work of peacemakers, erase hatred, and stop violence, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who live with cognitive disorders or eating disorders. Provide them with supportive communities. Restore the forgotten. Comfort the mourning. Heal the hurting. And we remember in our prayers today, Ed and Bev O'Connor's sister Kathy, Beth Oswald, Colleen Wright, Michelle Turvey, who is the niece of Tom and Maxine Bachman, Judy and Larry Pewterbaugh, Ron Drigg, and Doug Abbott. We also rejoice in the birth of Jackson James, the firstborn child of Nick and Christy Cataldo. And we also thank you, Lord, for the successful surgery that Jackson had. We remember and pray for the men and women serving our nation in the military service. We especially pray for Tristan Morrison, Rob Nolan, and Jamie Sawyer. Return them home safely, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are discerning a call to ministry and those who accompany them. Empower them with your grace and wisdom to continue building on the foundation of faith we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the faithful departed, and we pray for those who will die today. Hold them in your loving embrace. Breathe your spirit of peace into them. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers in the name of Christ, the light of the world, who is one with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated. After we have gathered our offerings for Christ Church's mission, we'll also call the council and elected leaders of our Savior forward for their annual installation. So it's going to take place here, in case you're saying, is it coming or did he forget? No, he never forgot. We are doing it at both services. Okay. Let you know, we have about 16 to 18 people, I think the count is, going to Frankenmuth to go swimming, have pizza, and just good fun together. God's people gathering for good reasons. Okay, so And we thank Faith and Ann for putting that together for us. The next youth event is going to be a congregational event for families and youth, and that'll be the bowling party, right? March 5th. It's a Sunday afternoon. So if you haven't been bowling for years, like one I know closely, come and give us entertainment. Don't do it for yourself. Let us laugh at you, too. So come along. Every time we've done it as a church, which is every few years, it's hilarious. Some of the adults want the bumper pads up, too, for the gutters. But we had just such a good time being together, God's people. You also see that during this week, there's a special meeting between the bishop of our synod, his associate, Pastor Heather, who will be meeting with our executive committee for an important meeting. We covet your prayers about the future ministry and life of our Savior. That's all I'm going to say. It's happening Thursday. Pray. Okay. Also, to let you know, as things unfold next Sunday, is the church potluck for the month of February, and it's our history. Now, I've been known to take a few pictures in my life. They average about 16,000 a year. I've been here 24 years. I don't have time to go through them. I will have some selected pictures spanning the last 24 years. If you have your favorite pictures, bring them. Don't worry about pictorial directories. I think some of the members who have graduated onto heaven have gifted me with every directory has been printed. So just bring your personal photographs. One that's going to be in the newsletter this week was a newspaper clipping I was given about 10 years ago, and thank God I save everything. I scanned that digitally. It'll be in the newsletter. It was when the ground was broken for the fellowship hall for the Sunday school. And all the people were standing around with the shovels, and the Times Herald printed the picture. Some of you former, earlier members, do you remember that day? Do you remember, Judy? No, too far back, huh? It took place in 1961. You were probably not yet born, Judy. I'm giving you an out here. You were what? Oh, you were gone. Okay. Doug, do you remember 61? Well, we're next week's potluck, as Robin will guide us, is going to touch the feelings and experiences to share stories with the newer members. This way we cross-pollinate each other, and we build a common past, but a new future. So make sure you make an effort to come to the potluck next Sunday. Worship continues as I invite the officers, elected members, please come forward with me. It's nice I get money every time I say that. If you're on a board or a committee, yeah, you can't hide Terry. You're sitting in the front pew. Gary, you're a trustee. Right, Doug? Did I miss something? Yes, Carl. Yeah, it worked. Yeah, it's going through my memory bank, scanning you all. Patty, aren't you on Board of Education or something? No. Okay. You are the reflective ones. We've got education, we have evangelism, we have the officers, we have the council, we have the trustees, we have the deacons. Oh, there you are. You're on my blind side. I need an extra eye to see over there. Okay. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ liberated you from sin and death. He made you members of his church. Through word and sacrament, you have been nurtured in faith. I ask you together
with all who are gathered in on a radio to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Very simply, do you believe in God the Father? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
And do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
St. Paul writes, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but they're still the same Spirit who gives them. There are different ways of serving, but it's the same Lord who's served in it. There are different abilities to perform service. The same God gives to everyone ability for a particular service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each person for the good of all people. You've been elected to your positions of leadership and trust in this congregation. Therefore, you are to see that the words and deeds of this household of faith reflect the name of him in whose name we have gathered. You are to work together with other members to see that the worship and the work of Christ is done in this congregation, and that God's will is done in this community as well as throughout the entire world. You're to be diligent in your specific area of serving, that the one Lord who empowers you will be glorified. You are to be examples of faith that's active in love to help maintain the life and harmony of this congregation. On behalf of your sisters and brothers in Christ, I ask you, are you ready to accept and faithfully carry out these duties of your offices to which you have been elected? If so, say yes, by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
And people of God, within the congregation or by radio, I ask you to support these, your elected leaders. And will you share in the mutual ministry that Christ has given to all who are baptized? So answer, yes, by the help of God.
Yes, by the help of God.
I now declare to you installed as officers, members of the council, members of this congregation and the leadership, may God bless you with his Holy Spirit, that you may prove faithful servants of God. Amen. You may return back to your seats. If you want to put some more on the offering plate, that's okay. That's a joke if you don't know it. If you'll please rise, this congregation. John has brought it forward. We sing our offertory hymn, Doxology, top of page 13.
Let us pray. Merciful God, receive the gifts we bring, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Through this meal, unite us as your body, shining with the light of your justice and mercy, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. And let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it for all to eat. And he said, "This is my body. It's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship
again
service
after supper,
of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.